Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manor Teaching Ministries. Praise the Lord. I haven't done a message in a while, but I'm glad for those of you that are listening in and have sent me messages and told me that you're waiting for another show. God has really been dealing with me during this time off, and I just thank God for bringing me back, you know, with more of a fervent and a passion and a fire, amen, to preach the word of God. So let's go to before the throne room of glory, and just thank God for the message on today, saints. Lord, Father God, I just thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. God, I thank you for the faithful listeners to the broadcast. Father, I pray that this word would not fall on deaf ears, but that it would accomplish that which you have sent it to do. For you said your word would not turn back unto you void, but it would accomplish that which you have sent it out to do. And Father, I pray that I would decrease, that you can increase, that they would see Jesus, and that they would feel the power of your word in the message today. Lord, we give you glory and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we do pray and we glorify you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. We're coming to you, amen, today. Our message is entitled, The Seed of the Woman versus the Seed of the Serpent. And we came out of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But have you ever wondered, my question to you today is, have you ever wondered what is meant by the seed of the woman? Amen. And because we know a woman does not have a seed, but we're going to talk about that today. And you will understand when we finish this message what exactly the seed of the woman means. Also, we're going to talk about the seed of the serpent. Praise the Lord. There are some scriptures that talk about the seed of the serpent. We want to get into that today, amen, and about the enmity that was established in the Garden of Eden between the seed of the devil and the seed of the woman. Praise the Lord. So let's get into this message, and John chapter 16 is our first verse. And this message is, we're going to start in verse 1. And the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you," Jesus is talking here, "that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time will come," Jesus said, "that whosoever killeth you will think that he is doing God a service." Praise the Lord. Let's talk about this for a minute, saints. How in the world can a person think they can actually kill someone and be doing God's service? When the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." Well, let's look at verse 3 in John chapter 16. The Bible says, "And these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father." Praise the Lord. They have not known the Father. So Jesus said, all these things will they do unto you. Persecution, he said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. But Jesus said, they will kill you because they do not know the Father nor me. Only a person that does not know God can kill in the name of God. Jesus said, they have not known the Father nor me. There are many religions that profess to know God, but in reality they don't know him. These were the religious people of that day and that killed Jesus. Most martyrs have been killed not by people that were professing to be devil worshippers, as you would think, but by people that were professing to be of God. The Muslims are beheading Christians in the name of Allah for their faith. The Catholic Church in the past has been the largest killer of Christians who were not Catholic Christians. Thousands were slain at one time. They said that's the crusade, amen, in the past, if you know your history. They said if you were not a Catholic, you were not a Christian. Amen. So Jesus said in the last days there would be false teaching and doctrines of devils, not in the world so much, but in the church world. I talked to a Jehovah's Witness this morning, and I went straight to the point about the difference of our beliefs, because they come to my door. They came before, my son answered the door, and I guess they thought they can come back. So I saw him getting out the car this morning, and I went downstairs, and I started talking to him, and I went straight to the point about the difference of our beliefs. A lot of Christians don't even know how to witness to a Jehovah's Witness, because they study, they believe in going, they go to Bible study, they go to study the word, they know what they believe, they know how to tell you about their doctrine, they've been indoctrinated, and they can explain intelligently what they believe. And that's what a lot of Christians need to learn how to do. We need to learn how to speak what we know to be true in the word of God and the difference between our beliefs. So how can we win them over if we don't know our word? But I went straight to the point, and I told the man that was at my door, he said, "Well, what's the difference between what you believe and what I believe?" I said, "You don't believe that Jesus Christ is God." And he agreed. He said, "We don't." Therefore, we have nothing to discuss any further. And I told him, because the Bible said if someone comes to your door, comes to you with another gospel, Paul said, other than that which we have preached, which is Jesus Christ, you know, being the Son of God, that's what the foundation of the church is built upon. Jesus asked the disciples, he said, whom do men say that I am? And the Bible says that Peter responded, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, these cults will tell you they believe that Jesus was God. I mean, not God. They'll say they believe that he was the Son of God, just as we are children of God. But they do not believe that he is the only begotten, as in John 3:16, the only begotten of the Father. They do not believe that he was God. They don't believe he was equal to God. Paul said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was killed because he said he was the Son of God, which the Jews knew that when a person said they was the Son of God, they were making themselves equal to God, and that's why they tried to kill Jesus on more than one occasion, because he did say that he was the Son of God, and he made himself equal to God. We nowadays, we have taken some, we don't know a lot about the Jewish religion in the Old Testament. We don't know about what their beliefs were, so we don't understand when he said he is the Son of God, that he is making himself equal to God, that he is saying, I am God, but we're going to get into that today. Therefore, I told him we have nothing to discuss, because I'm not going to even bid you Godspeed, because the Bible says if you come to me with any other gospel, not to even bid you Godspeed. So we tell them what we believe and close the door. I just close the door because we had nothing else to discuss. Don't let them come in and do Bible study. Don't let them come in and teach you anything about their religion. Why? Because they have been indoctrinated for centuries, hundreds of years, and teaching. They have teaching that will wrap you up like a serpent if you don't stick to the point that separates you from them. Jesus was not only the Son of God, but he was God in the flesh. Things have to be spiritually discerned, for he told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus said that the Father has to reveal himself to you in order for your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was God in the flesh, and the Bible says these things have to be spiritually discerned. You cannot get the knowledge of God in the natural carnal mind. It has to be spiritually revealed. You have to be born of the Spirit, the Bible says, and of the flesh. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. So only God can reveal himself to man. That's why the Bible says one plant, one water, but God gives the increase. That's why we have to pray for them to be saved, because God is going to have to take the veil off of their eyes. God is going to have to reveal himself and his Son in them and in us in order for our names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. If you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Israel was not saved because they did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh. But the Bible says in the book of St. John, chapter 1, that the Word was made flesh and lived and dwelt among us. The Bible says in the Old Testament, in Psalms, I think around the 22nd chapter, that Jesus existed in heaven, and he said, prepare me a body. And these are some of the scriptures I told the Jehovah's Witness this morning. He said, prepare me a body. Amen. For God sent his Son, the Bible says in John 3:16. He sent his Son. He so loved the world that he sent his Son, that the world through him might be saved. Amen. For God so loved the world. But the Bible says in Romans, getting back to Romans chapter 10, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, and this is what the world does, this is what the church does outside of Jesus Christ, establishing our own righteousness, have not submitted ourselves unto the righteousness of the law, which is a righteousness of God, I'm sorry, not the law, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith the word? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt believe. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Okay, let's go back. I'm going back into my message now. I meant to go from Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Now, the Bible says, let's talk about verse 3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. These people that kill you in the name of God are described here as having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. That is why they think they are doing God a service. Verse 3, the Bible says they go about seeking to establish their own righteousness and not submitting to the righteousness which comes from God, only because they are ignorant of God's righteousness. I have come to see that the most, this is me talking now, I have come to see that the most important thing to God is being in his will, seeking to be in his will. Some people have said in the past, there is a perfect will and a permissive will of God. I don't agree. The word of God only talks about the will of God, period. And even you are found in his will or you are found outside of his will. Let's read some scriptures that back this up. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, let's go over there. This is the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray on this wise. For the sake of time, we're going to skip straight to verse 10 because this is the point I want to make. Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, or in me, which I take that personally because I'm an earthen vessel, but also in the earthly realm. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So let's talk about this. Jesus said, let your will be done. He didn't say permissive will. He didn't say, what's the other word they said, permissive or perfect. He didn't say that. He said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, this is our daily prayer to be found in the will of God. Every time we pray, we need to pray that we are found in the will of God, that God's will is done on earth as it was in heaven. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. This is another example of the will of God. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16, this is talking about when Peter was talking, when Jesus was talking to Peter. And the Bible says that Jesus told Peter that because he desired the things that be of man, that's man's will. He said, because you desire the things that be of man or man's will and not the things that be of God or God's will, that he was being influenced by Satan, the adversary, even to the point of addressing Peter as Satan. Let's read this in Matthew 16 and 21. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said to Peter in verse 23, and this is my key verse, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest or desirest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So here Jesus was showing Peter that you have to submit yourself to the will of God, even though it means I'm going to die, even though it means I'm going to suffer, even though it means I'm going to be crucified, even though it means I'm going to be raised again the third day. This is the will of God. Amen. Jesus said, I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father that sent me. So he told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. See, there's two agendas. There's only two agendas in the world. That's good and evil. That's the devil's agenda and God's agenda. There is no middle ground. Either you're on God's side or you're on the enemy's side. That's why the scripture coming back to me now about Elijah when he was battling with Baal and with all the false gods, and he said, you know, the prophets of Baal were cutting themselves and calling on their God, and it didn't do any good. But you know what Elijah said? Let him that answers by fire, let him be God. And God came down and licked up the water and in the trenches, and he had doubled the water. God still ate up the sacrifice because he was showing himself to be God. Amen. So right here we talk about, what did Peter say or do to earn this rebuke when Jesus rebuked him and said, "Thou art an offense to me"? He said that it was not the will of God for Jesus to go to the cross. It was not the will of God for Jesus to be killed and to be resurrected. When the word of God clearly states that the Messiah would be killed, even back in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Let's go over there for a minute. And this is the scripture I want to get to today. And the Bible said, "I will put enmity in Genesis 3 and 15. We're going to talk about the curse. This is the main root of the message. So make sure you listen and pay attention. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We know he was not just talking to the serpent right here, but he was talking to the spirit that had Satan, that had indwelt the serpent. And he went, in verse 14, yes, he was talking to the serpent when he said, "Thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." But in verse 15, he immediately went into the spiritual realm and began dealing with the devil himself that was inhabiting the serpent. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Now, what is the seed of the woman? That is the question that we have before us today. The Bible says, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, what is God talking about here? He's talking about bruising the heel of the mankind with death. The only thing that can bruise, that Jesus was bruised because he came in the form of man. He came as a vessel. He came in the flesh to be killed. That was the bruising of the heel. But God said that the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ, was going to crush or demolish or destroy the head of the enemy, which is death. That's why the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Amen. So the Bible says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." When God told Satan that the seed of the woman would crush his head, but he would bruise his heel, he was speaking of death. Again, this warfare or enmity that was established here in Genesis 3 and 15 it still exists today. It was and it still does exist today between the children of the devil and the children of God, right in the church. The word enmity here is also translated hatred and hostility. So the children of the devil are always going to have hatred and hostility toward the children of God in their hearts. That's why the Bible says, make sure you don't hate anybody, to love everybody. Amen? Because it's translated here, hatred and hostility. Sometimes you don't like a person, you don't even know why you don't like them. That's the devil, because he is at work against the children of God. This is how the devil can trick people into thinking they are doing God's will and killing Christians at the same time. That answers our question at the beginning. But let's go over to John chapter 8, verse 37. I want to go back to that real quick. John 8 and 37. And the Bible says, this is Jesus talking to the Jews. He said, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word have no place in you." So here Jesus is saying, you want to kill me because my word have no place in you. This is the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. The children of God use the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is the sword of the spirit. That's what we fight with. But the children of the world, they don't use the word of God. That's why you can have people in church that are not saved, because they don't value the word. They don't apply the word to every area of ministry. They don't apply the word to every area of their life. They don't live a clean life because they're not living the word. The Bible says in Psalms, "How can a man, young man, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." The word is what cleanses us and washes us. Amen. So in verse 38, back in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if Abraham were your father, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what did he mean here? He meant the works of Abraham was the faith to believe God in spite of all obstacles. When Abraham offered Isaac, he believed against hope, the Bible says. He hoped against hope. He said, I know that God is able to raise him up. So to speak, in the book of Hebrews, Paul let us know that Abraham said, I know that God is able to raise him up if he requires the child of the promise. Now, Isaac was the child of promise, so it didn't make sense in the natural for Abraham to be sacrificing him when God had told him that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So that's why you have to understand Abraham was the father of faith, because it didn't have to make sense to him in order for him to obey God. A lot of times what hinders us as children of God is we want things to make sense in the natural realm. We want to understand what God is doing before we do it. A lot of times, and I know this is hard because I've been in the same position, you have to get your mind trained to the fact that you don't look in the natural, but you look in the spirit, and you know that God is able in spite of what you see. Because most of the time, the natural circumstances are not going to agree with what God is saying. Therefore, you have to have faith and hope. The Bible says, if you see it, why do you need hope? Amen? You know, if you see something, you don't have to hope for it. And hope, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's the things that we don't see and the things that we hope for that we need to use faith to receive. Amen. That is what empowers the angels. That's what empowers God to send our blessing. A lot of times we don't receive what we have because the Bible says what we want, because the Bible says in Hebrews 11, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As Daniel sought the Lord, the angel said, O Daniel, greatly beloved man of God, I was dispatched the first day you prayed, but I was hindered with your answer by the prince of Persia, which Daniel was in Persia at that time. He said, I was hindered by the prince of Persia. He said, I had to call for Michael, your great prince, Michael, the archangel, to come and help me so I could get your answer to you. Amen. And that is the way spiritual warfare works. You have to remain faithful even when you don't see it. I don't care how long it takes. It took Daniel 21 days. It may take you a little bit longer. But just know that the answer is on the way. Let's go back into John chapter 8. Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham, which is the works of faith. Because remember in, I think it's Matthew chapter 16, where the rich man and the poor man went to hell. The rich man went to hell, the poor man went to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And remember he said there was a gulf. You could see from one to the other, but you couldn't pass. And amen, the Bible says that the poor man was saved. The rich man was not saved. He said the works, was in the bosom of Abraham. That means that the poor man, Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. That's why God honored him and said that paradise was compared to the bosom of Abraham. Amen, because you can't get in unless you have the faith of Abraham. Now, he said, you do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, now remember, first he said, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, in verse 42, he said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. The children of God hear the word. Amen. You are of your father, verse 44. Jesus broke it down plain in verse 44. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust or desires or things of your father, that will ye do. The same thing he told Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you savorest the things, not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. He told them here, you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Remember Cain and Abel? He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, Jesus said, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, this is another key verse, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. That's your spiritual ear coming open when you become born again. Jesus said, told Nicodemus, remember, he that unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That means your spiritual ears are turned off. You have no spiritual insight until you become born again. And then he said, unless you believe, he said, Nicodemus, John chapter 3, he said, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you believe. He said, but you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you believe. So here Jesus is saying, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now Jesus was a Jew, but they accused him of being a Samaritan and having a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Everyone that does not believe that Jesus is God is dishonoring God, because God sent Jesus into the world. And I seek not mine own glory, Jesus said. There is one that seeketh and one that judgeth. Verse 51, he says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, or the word, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, they still were spiritually incompetent of hearing what Jesus said. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father? And this is another key verse. They said, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom do you make yourself? Hallelujah. This is the key verse. If I don't get to anything else, I want you to look at verse 54. Jesus answered and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, number one, and I keep his saying. This is very important. To know him, you have to keep his saying. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do the things that I command you to do? Amen. Not the hearers of the word are just, saints, but the doers of the word are just before God. Look at verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50. They still was looking at it in the natural. That's why the Bible said the carnal man is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can it understand the things of God. The Jews said, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them in verse 58, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him. They was trying to kill him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's talk about this. Amen. We went through a lot of verses here, but Jesus said the key verse in verse 44, he said, you are of your father the devil. Remember we talked about the seed of the serpent, or the seed of the devil, and the seed of God in the woman, which is Jesus Christ. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. This is why so many people in the church are in discord and so much trouble in the church, because you have some people that is hearing God and some people that is not hearing God. Amen. That's why the Bible says the tares in the wheat. The devil sows tares in the midst of the church. But God said, let the two grow together. Least when you pluck up the tares, you damage the wheat. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Jesus told the people, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. That's when they took up stones to try to kill him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am, or I existed. That means he was God, eternal God. He said, He said, I am, before Abraham was, I am or I existed. Jesus said, I am or I existed. This is proof that he was claiming to be eternal, that he was claiming to be God. He was with Moses when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God told him, I am. This is the same name that Jesus used right here, I am. We're going to start with part two. This is a two-part message. I'm going to finish the rest of it tonight. It'll be posted tomorrow. But we're going to stop here. And this is John chapter 8 that we're going to stop. But I want you to go ahead and read some of the other scriptures that we have. It's in Isaiah chapter 46, still talking about I am. Isaiah 48 and 12, still talking about I am, proving that Jesus is God. And then we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 3 when we're going to talk about the seed of the serpent. Now, we talked about the seed of God. Amen. And now we're going to talk about the seed of the devil, which we're going to do that in Matthew chapter 3 and some more scriptures. But amen. I hope you were blessed today. I hope you enjoyed the message. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateacher Ministry. I am excited about what God is doing. I didn't want you to think I fell off the face of the earth. I just want you to know I was seeking God for a message that would that he could show himself strong in, because each day I seek to be closer to him and to do his will even more. So pray for me as I pray for you, and God bless you. I love you, and good night.